Je suis en compagnie de Tony Nikanchuk, pharmacien clinicien à l'hôpital de Peace River. Okay, so first of all, can you tell me a little bit about your background as a clinical pharmacist?
Sure, yeah. Graduated in 2006 from the U of A Faculty of Pharmacy and spent 8 years after that in community pharmacy. And then in 2014, I went to Alberta Health Services to work as a hospital pharmacist and worked there from 2014 until February 2020 as a sort of direct clinical pharmacist. And then since February 2020, I've been in a provincial position with Alberta Health Services, doing more kind of analytical work and sort of drug policy management on a provincial level. So.
And why did you want it to become a clinical pharmacist?
I mean, a lot of reasons. I always wanted to do something in healthcare, and I am a little bit squeamish, so that ruled out physician. So I leaned toward pharmacy, and as time went on, I kind of wanted more and more of a challenge. And so hospital pharmacy appealed to me because the patients tend to be more complex and the problems tend to be more complex. So it was very challenging. And I also like the idea of working directly with the physicians and nurses. It's a very sort of team-based system, and that appealed to me a lot. So that's why I made the move to hospital in 2014.
Okay. And why do you create graphs and keep the population informed?
I've always been interested in statistics, but I think the biggest reason is that there's such a flood of disinformation and misinformation, particularly in social media, but there's also a significant sort of misreporting and misunderstanding of data and data analysis, even in the sort of mainstream press. And so I have sort of worked over the last, I'd say even 10 years, learning a lot of this stuff on my own and working through examples put forward by people who know this stuff, you know, infinitely better than me, and trying to just get a better grasp of the truth that data tells. I think I'm concerned with the move, at least in social media, toward the notion that there is no objective truth and it is just whatever you want it to be. I still stick to, I guess, maybe the a bit old-fashioned notion now that there is actually a objective fact out there and we just need to work with the data we have to find it. And so I've tried to create a social media environment where, you know, we try to put things forward as objectively as possible and without, you know, any, I guess, partisan or subjective taint to it. And so creating graphs, I think, is the best way to visualize that data and try to tell a story that people can follow. I try to put graphs out there and just kind of let them do their own thing and let people interpret from them what they can. And I think that those would be the main reasons, just trying to tell a story with the data that's out there. And a lot of people don't even know the data that is out there. So trying to find it for people and bring it into an easily digested format, I think, is the most important, because right now we're just completely flooded with data and it can be super overwhelming. So that's another thing too, is trying to filter all that data into something that's easy to digest for people.
And on January 11, there will be a press conference about what will happen with the lockdown measures. What do you think will happen personally?
It's really hard to say at this point, because it really would be like reading a crystal ball, unfortunately. But I can't see with where we're at with them lifting anything significantly, mostly because although cases have plateaued a bit, we really haven't seen a significant decline. And, you know, weekly average hospitalizations are continuing to climb. They're starting to flatten out a little bit, but deaths are still significantly higher than they were in the first wave by a large margin. Yesterday, we reported another 25. Day before is 26. And so the death curve has not plateaued either. And so personally, looking at the data, I think it would be premature to lift any restrictions right now. I know that's going to be hard for a lot of people to hear. It's hard for me. It's not fun being in lockdown. But if I had to predict, I would say they probably won't change things too significantly. I don't see them adding restrictions. but I also don't see them lifting any right now. I suspect it'll be a status quo for the time being until we see a more significant decline in the case numbers.
And what do you advise people to do regarding COVID-19?
My advice would be follow the expert advice as best you can. And, you know, I think wearing masks out in public is just good sense now. It's also the law in a lot of places, including Peace River. You know, keep your bubble as small as possible. Follow the public health guidelines. As hard as it is, don't visit people outside of your household until the government says that we can. People are skeptical of government rules and regulations, but they have to understand that right now those rules and regulations are being made on the advice of scientific experts in order to protect public health. So I think the biggest thing is, as well, despite what people are seeing some poorly advised politicians doing, it leads to bad examples of what we should be doing. I think we all need to try and look past that and recognize that although it's very hard and it's a significant personal sacrifice, it's for the greater common good that we all try to stick to these guidelines as best as possible until this wave starts to decline, because we are seeing significant hospitalization, morbidity, and significant mortality as well, unfortunately. And so I think we need to all remember that when we think about the millions of little decisions we make every day and try to align them as best we can with expert advice.
Of course, and also it's a group thing. We're all in this together.
Yeah, of course. It's sort of your classic collective action problem. If everybody says, well, I'm not going to do it because no one else is doing it, then none of us do anything. And we've seen from other countries where that leads. We've seen countries like the United States where COVID now ranks as the third leading cause of death in the country, a disease that didn't exist before January 2020. You know, countries like Belgium, where at the peak, COVID was killing more people than died from all causes in the same time period in 2019. So, I mean, without control and collective action, COVID can get extremely serious. It already is serious in Alberta, but it can get even worse. So we don't want to see that.
And how's the situation in the Peace River Hospital? Is it overwhelming or under control?
It's hard for me to say right now because I'm in a provincial position right now. So I have been at home since they set the order for people to work from home if they can. You know, speaking with some colleagues, it's certainly not as bad as it is in Edmonton, Calgary, Red Deer, the bigger centers, right? Even Grand Prairie, where they have an ICU. We don't have an ICU in Peace River, so we don't see as much of that. But speaking to colleagues, it's certainly not as bad as those areas, but it's still very stressful for everyone working on the front line.
Also, is there anything you'd like to have that I haven't mentioned?
When you get the chance to get the vaccine, please consider getting it. I've spent a lot of time researching the vaccines, and I can tell you they're abundantly safe and they're way more effective than we ever expected them to be. So that's a big bonus. And I think getting as much of the population vaccinated as possible is the quickest and safest way for us to get back to leading a life resembling some sort of normalcy.
Yes, I also read that there was 1 in 100,000 people who had a side effects from one of the vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that 1 out of 100,000 is the Pfizer vaccine specifically. We don't have as concrete a data on Moderna yet. The data prior to that said about 1 out of 1 million. And that 1 out of 100,000, 81% of those individuals who had allergic reactions to it had a prior history of allergic reaction or allergy. And 100% of those individuals recovered from the allergy. So, you know, not that no one is going to have effects, but it's exceedingly rare. And most people tolerate it just fine, aside from, you know, some injection site discomfort, like with any vaccine.
Well, thank you so much, Tony.
Of course, anytime.
En résumé, étant intéressé à travailler parmi les pharmaciens et à faire une différence dans le domaine hospitalier, Tony Nikanchuk s'est dirigé vers le métier de pharmacien clinicien. Depuis le début de la pandémie de la COVID-19, il crée des graphiques et informe la population via sa page Facebook pour informer les gens, mais surtout pour contrer la désinformation. C'était Tony Nikanchuk, pharmacien clinicien à l'hôpital de Peace River. Ici Alex Fortier pour la Radio Nord-Ouest FM.